in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. This is a letter Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in order to give them comfort in the face of death. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul wanted them to be comforted with these words. For the last few days, I've been speaking on the subject of fear. In my previous lesson, I talked about the fear of men and how and why some people are fearful of rejection or fearful of the disapproval of man. I don't know why people would have such a fear, but they do. Some people fear that a greater plague will come across this land. Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them for looking upon the things that are coming on this earth. Fear is a subject that we don't like to talk much about. Today I'm going to be speaking about the fear of death. When you bid farewell to a beloved family member or friend with the reasonable assurance that you will meet again in a short while, the pain of separation is minor. It is the probability of a long or indefinite separation that saddens the spirit and breaks the heart. Sorrow at the moment of separation is a matter of degree. The degree depends in part on the anticipated duration of separation. Is it going to be brief? Is it going to be long? Or is it to be forever? Saying farewell to those we love with no prospect of a joyous reunion is an unparalleled calamity, an undescribable tragedy. It is the sense of not knowing that makes death difficult to accept. Christians and non-Christians alike feel the anguish of the loss of their departed loved ones. The book of Acts records that devout men carried Stephen, the first Christian martyr, to his burial and made great lamentations over him. Even Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. In the presence of death, we become keenly aware of our helplessness and the need of the support of the supernatural. From the depths of our spirit, there is a cry born of the anguish of a broken heart, even among unbelievers, to God for help. We pray consciously and unconsciously for strength to carry on. That is my subject today, death. I know it's not your favorite subject. It's not mine either. I'm not trying to cloud up your day, but I want to point out that for many people, death is the ultimate fear and the ultimate confusion. When someone dies, I hear a lot of people saying, he's in a better place. Even though before their death, they tried with all of their might to pray them away from that place. Woody Allen once said, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality through not dying. I don't want to live on in the hearts of my friends. I would rather live on in my apartment. We treat death as though it was an obscene word. Rather than simply saying he died, we use phrases like passed on, went to a better place, was called home, or went to sleep, or departed from this life. One internet page listed 200 ways of saying death without saying death. When I was growing up, young people weren't shielded from death. Folks died at home, and the body was put on display at home. People came by to weep and mourn their loss, but no one pretended a death had not occurred. Because of our discomfort, we airbrush the whole experience. We pretend that people aren't going to die. One man says that death is the great leveler of the mighty and the lowly. It plays no favorites, cuts no deals. Death spares no one. Right about now, I know you're ready to turn this radio off, or at least go to another station where the subject is not so morbid, where the category is not so frightful. But if you'll stay tuned, we're going to take on this subject with the Bible as our guide. The Bible isn't afraid to speak of death. The Bible calls it what it is. Words such as die and death occur almost 1,000 times in the Bible. The biblical term for death are often gracious and poetic, such as gathered to my people, or gathered to your fathers, or gathered to your grave in peace. Psalms 116 and 15 is considered the most beautiful Bible verse concerning the death of God's people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. Death in the Bible is presented as part of life. Many Christians have the mistaken notion that eternal life begins when we die. But I believe eternal life begins when we are born again into the kingdom of God. If you know God through Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are experiencing eternal life right now. And when we die, it's just a transition. Jesus referred to death as being carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Jesus tells the repentant thief who died beside him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Paul describes death as being absent from the body and present with the Lord. More than a dozen times, death is described as sleep, the temporary status of the body, from which it will be awakened in resurrection at the end of the age. Paul says to die is gain, since we will be with Christ, and he calls death far better than being on earth. When we die, our bodies will be destroyed, but we will inherit a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Death is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. Jesus describes the separation of death as merely temporary. "A little while, you will not see me," he says. "And again, a little while, and you will see me." We say we want to be ready, but the problem is, death is high on our fear list. We'd rather not talk about it. If you are a Christian who remains apprehensive about death, I pray that the biblical truths will move you towards faith in Christ so that his life, not your death, brings you to a joyful anticipation of the future. There are only two ways to face the future, with fear or with faith. Those who live by faith in the Son of God will find all their fears, especially the fear of death, consumed by the security of his person and the certainty of his promises. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I'd like to say I have no fear of death. I've heard people talk about the grim reaper, but I picture the angel of death much like the anesthesiologist who stood by my bed the day before I went into surgery. And he told me, "You have nothing to fear. You're just going to go to sleep. And when you wake up, you'll be like a brand new person." And that's the way I think of death. I think of the heavenly anesthesiologist standing by my bed, telling me I have nothing to fear, that I would be just going to sleep, and when I wake up, I'd have a brand new body. If you are a saint of God, you'll just go to sleep, and when you wake up, you'll have a brand new body.